It's one of the coldest and snowiest towns in the U.S. In fact, it's not uncommon for this community to have the lowest temperature in the lower 48 states on many days. It can also have 3 or 4 feet of snow on the ground in the winter. It's a place that welcomes many visitors to Yellowstone National Park. I'll take you there next on the American Countryside.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, the only weekend television show that features some of agriculture's biggest names. From custom commentary from John Phipps to the stories of Antique Iron with Machinery Pete, to a list of more than 30 marketing analysts, our weekly program focuses on the topics that matter most to you. We invite you to join us each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Just outside the western boundary of Yellowstone National Park, you find a town that has welcomed visitors here for well over a century.
The town of West Yellowstone wouldn't exist without the railroad here. We have the Union Pacific Depot that we're sitting in today. That was completed in 1909.
Brandy Burns at the Museum of the Yellowstone says those trains just ran from June to mid-September, bringing visitors to the park where they met stagecoaches. Arriving here in West Yellowstone was quite an event.
We have the Union Pacific Dining Lodge just down the street from here, and it was basically what you consider a restaurant, and they fed the train passengers. You would be greeted by the Beanery Queens, and those were the waitresses, and they would sing a song about their blue plate special number 2.
Once off the train, fed and ready to go into the park, visitors would board stagecoaches like the one on display here at the museum.
Often when people got here, they would rent dusters to wear over their clothes to keep the dust off. And they even would time the stagecoaches to help one from the next from not eating the dust of the one in front of them.
Riding the train to see the park was an expensive journey. Men would wear suits and women dresses. And the trip might take many days or weeks, depending on where they began the journey. They had to build an extra baggage building here at the depot just to handle the demand.
Just imagine that. You're going on vacation and there's just so much luggage and you're not bringing it with you into the park. You left a bunch here in town.
The town remains a gateway to the national park. While visitors no longer arrive by train, they still make this a base or jumping off point to explore the area. Traveling the countryside in West Yellowstone, Montana, I'm Andrew McCrae.